Hallelujah, Lord. We give you all the praise and all the glory. And it's with boldness, standing on your word, in the name of Jesus, covered with the blood of Jesus, we declare this area. We declare the whole of Basingstoke for the period of your word being declared. We declare it a no-go area to the devil and all of his cohorts in the mighty name of Jesus. We give you all the praise and all the glory because the victory is ours. The victory is ours. We are not wrestling for victory. The victory is ours. It's a done deal. It's ours, and we operate in that victory. Therefore, I render my vocal cords, I render my entirety into the hands of the Holy Spirit to deliver your word as accurately as you delivered it to me. Let everyone who hears your word be God to any situations in their lives. At the end of the message, Lord, I thank you. Your word transforms them into gods over those situations. I thank you, Lord, the joint combination of your light and your understanding gives them supremacy over whatever they might be going through and takes them from wherever they are right now to a higher level of glory. In the name of Jesus. 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 A higher level of glory. In the name of Jesus. A higher level of glory. In the name of Jesus. Amen. If you believe you've received answers to that prayer, say amen. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, sir. Thank you very much. A round of applause for him. Thank you very much. Hallelujah. Amen. I'm going to start what God has asked me to share today by saying this. How many healing spirit workers do we have? Raise your hand up. Yeah, worker. Okay. I know who I'm talking to now. If it is for God, if your service is unto God, only the best is the least requirement. Amen. And two things spring to my spirit. You know the story of the midwives, the Hebrew midwives. The king said, if it's a boy, kill. If it's a girl, let live. But they feared God more than they feared that king. They let those children grow. If you read Exodus, God says, the word says, God made homes for those women. Amen. That's the Bible story. The second one is, this close to me because it's a friend of my sister's. They graduated together. They read accounting. They did their chartered accounting course. In a space of 18 months, they changed house 3 times. So they went from a flat to a house to a bigger house. And what was that? Because my sister kept on talking about it. She was just changing jobs, getting promoted. Husband as well was in IT, was never without a contract. Even though, you know, IT then, or even now, IT is short. They give you 6 months or 3 months contract. Was never without a contract. And whenever he goes for another one, it is more money. I kept only to find out the husband fell in love with Jesus' house. Fell in love with Jesus and fell in love with Pastor Agu. Everything was Pastor Agu. Everything was he served. And the God he served in Pastor Agu made sure it showed. So if, because it's free. How many pay membership fee to be in Healing Spring? No, it's free. It's your choice. So if it is for God, only the best is the least. If you can't give the best, go and find somebody else and do it. God, thank you for the permission to say that one. If you cannot give him the best, go and give somebody else. So on that note, what time does church start? 10. Thank you. 10. If it is for God, 9:50. You are late if you're not here within this. If you're not parking your car or getting out of the cab to pay your fare, you are late, and it's not good enough. My wife says, God is nobody's father's mate. And this is what she means. How many of you go late to work? Eh? How many of you dare appear at work late? But in the kingdom of God, we find it easy. We can have an excuse. Oh, no. Woke up late, blah, blah, blah. No, if it is for God, only the best is the least. If you can't give that, thank you very much, please. Okay, pastor might shoot me if I keep saying this. Because pastor doesn't want you to. The point is, if it's for God, only the best is the least. And if you can't give him the best, just read the Gospels. Because in the Gospels, you find out that what God gave was his best. As a matter of fact, not only his best, he gave all he had. Because Jesus is the Word became flesh, and his Word is all he had. And he gave you all he had. So your presence in church is in return to what he has given you. Only the best is the least. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. You still love me? Amen. Turn your Bibles to Psalm 23, please. Psalm 23. For those of you who may have noticed, I've always turned to Psalm 23. There's a plan there. I follow Kenneth Copeland a lot, and I think early in his ministry, God told him pick a verse and preach on it until you've preached everything out of it. So I am training myself to do the same. We started at the start of this year, when I February, we looked at verse 4, looking at with God all things are possible. In April, I had to preach on Resurrection Sunday, so we skipped that. The last time I was here, we looked at 3 and 4, where it says, he leads you in the path of righteousness, yet though you walk through the shadow of darkness, you fear no evil because he is with you. And the angle God was showing us was, if you are yielded to him, there will be no need for you to end up in the valley of the shadow of death. But once again, in that same verse 4, God has brought up, God has given us something else to dig out of it. And it's going to now be, what's it called? It's going to be interactive. So, turn to verse 4. It says, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Who wants to, because there's one key word there that God wants us to take out and spend some time. Who wants to? Father, reveal it to somebody. Amen. Hallelujah. So God's going to reveal it to somebody. Who wants to pick up that keyword? There's one keyword in verse 4 that changes the complexion of even the whole Psalm 23. Who wants to have a go? One word. Anybody? Yes, sir. One word, sir.
One word.
Yes.
Fear.
Fear. Okay. A round of applause for him. But that's not the word I was. Yes, sir. Comfort. Praise God. Hallelujah. Round of applause. But that's not what I'm looking for. Yes. Sorry? Close. That's what we did in, that's what we looked at in February. Thank you. Anybody else? It's one word that changes. Yes?
Though.
That one we can even, we can spend time on that, because it doesn't say when I walked in valley. It says even though. So it's a probably, but that's not the word I'm looking for. Anybody else? Huh? Yes. Yes. Shadow. Amen. Shadow. 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 And to make it, as I said, I follow Kenneth Copeland a lot. So he teamed up with Jerry Savelle. And in those early years, Jerry Savelle learned from, especially Gloria Copeland, how to live in divine healing and divine health. So he had mastered that one. Any sickness, he didn't even fall sick anymore. You know, he was in divine health. But in finances, he had issues. So one day when they were together ministering, he called. Yeah. He called Brother Copeland and said, you know, when it comes to healing and health, I've mastered it. Myself, my family, we live in divine health. You know, that's sorted now. But then when it comes to finances, especially the way you run your ministry debt-free, you know what? I've got my notepad and my Bible. Can you please share with me how you do it? And a couple looked up and said, the shadow of a lion never beat anybody. And that was it. Ha. Jerry Savell said, he was expecting Ken Copeland to give him notes of things he had to study. The shadow of a lion never beat anybody. But in that one statement is a whole world of revelation. How many of you here has been bitten by the shadow? Let me see which one. A shadow of a wasp. Shadow of a wasp came and beat you. Nobody, okay. A shadow of a snake. You just saw the shadow and the thing came and it stung you. No? Okay. Shadow of a lion. You heard, you saw the shadow. The shadow came and he grabbed you, beat you. Anybody? Ah, good. Because if that happened to you, we'll have to pray for you. Amen. The shadow can do nothing to you. Amen. If you notice, it says, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow. It's not the shadow of death. Even if you walk through the shadow of death, there is enough life in you to dissipate that death. But it says the shadow of death. Shadow is not real. Shadow is not real. It can't do you anything. At this point, I wanted to say, who wants to be bold enough to share just the name of something you're having to deal with? You know, it's the devil that's doing it. But I'm not going to go that route. I would lead this. Let's stick with health. Let's go cancer. There's a time I'm sure in some churches they don't even talk about. If a member has cancer, they say, you need special medical help here. But cancer. There was a time. Even now they say it. They say one in three in their lifetime would be affected by cancer. Please don't join them in saying that. When you hear somebody say that, say two in three. Two out of three will experience victory over cancer. Because cancer is a shadow. It's a shadow. It is a shadow. Because cancer doesn't have a covenant with God. Cancer doesn't have a covenant with God. So it is not real. It's not real. Besides, it has a name, doesn't it? And the name of Jesus is superior to it. It doesn't have a covenant. It's a shadow. Amen. It's a shadow. Say, well, Pastor, what if I go to the hospital and they say from the diagnosis I have cancer? Hey, it's two things. Tell them that machine is not working. That machine has gone crazy. You say, ha, Pastor. It's true. Because it's a shadow. It is a shadow. A man of God went for his general checkup. And then, I might as well mention his name. Copeland went for his because he's a pilot, he needs to have regular annual checkups. And all his senses need to be intact. The woman came out and said, one ear is perfect, the other one is not hearing clear. He said, immediately, he wasn't against her, but then, you can develop yourself in God's word when you hear some things. It just gets you. How would I put it? You hear some things and immediately you just come against it. He said, no, that machine is wrong. He said, oh, no, we calibrated them. No. As in, no offense to you. You're a professional, you know your job. But that machine is wrong. You better go and calibrate it and come and check it again. The woman reluctantly went. As she left, he said, he reminded God, before I came here, your word says, by the stripes of Jesus, I am healed and I have been made whole. So when she comes back to check, that is the testimony I want to hear. They came back, they checked. The woman went all red. Said, oh yeah, maybe the machine is wrong. Praise God. Hallelujah. Or number two, it's a shadow. It's a shadow. Remember what David said? Because you look at David, you look at Goliath, so what put so much confidence in David for him to appear before Goliath? A seasoned warrior. And besides, he overshadowed him. He said that uncircumcised Philistine. What does that mean? He doesn't have a covenant with the one I'm coming against him with. So he's, as far as I am concerned, he's like the lion that came to try and steal one of my sheep. I would treat him like a beast. No covenant. No covenant. And we need to get to that point where, what is it? Flu or whatever it is called. You have to remember, Isaiah 53 was just a prophecy. It was just a prophecy. And it says, by his stripes you are healed. That means when they were wounding him, any form of ailment lost its right to abide in your body. But he said, but Pastor, I can feel the symptom. Yes, I hear you. But God's word says, by his stripes you are healed. It's still a shadow. A shadow. It's still a shadow. It's still a shadow. Amen. Praise God. Finances. You know, plenty of education. When they have cash flow, they say, bottleneck on my finances. So I'm waiting for my next paycheck. That is a shadow. It's a shadow. It ought not to have any effect on you. Ought not to. Because it's not real. Debt is not. Okay. I do appreciate. Yes, it feels real, doesn't it? Especially when they start sending those threatening letters. Or when you know, oh my God, you have another 24 months of pay so and so. Just to pay it, just to clear it off. Yeah, listen to me. It doesn't have a covenant. I think it was 2 years ago when God was dealing with me with respect to what I was still owing, what I was still outstanding, what was still outstanding in my finance. God told me, that outstanding balance does not have a covenant with me. So why do you treat it as though it is real? Speak to it. Speak to it. And for those of you who are here and remember, because I normally check my my credit credit rating, the file. There was one amount there. I went back to check it and it disappeared. Speak to it. It's just a shadow. It's not real. Amen. And healing and health is real. That's the real thing. The blessing of God is real. You know, if you're here and you're praying for God to bless you, you are very, very late because he has blessed you already. Yeah. Blessed be the Father. Blessed be the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ who has blessed us. He has blessed you already. If you're here, you're praying for healing. That one too is a bit too late because as far as he's concerned, you are already healed. So you need to start training yourself. I am not the sick trying to be healed. I am the healed and the devil is trying to put sickness on me. And you need to stop saying, oh well, that period of sickness, I was on my bed, I was on my back for 2 weeks. God was trying to teach me. Which child are you? If God is going to teach you, he will use his word. Oh, and that brings to, oh God. When I read this one, I'm on Facebook. So I read this on Facebook. And the first thing that dawned on me was, pastors, we have a lot of work. We have a lot of work. And this was a pastor pasting on Facebook that they were in a Bible study and somebody raised the question. He says, the person said, does God use Satan? Oh, I need to get the words right. Does God use Satan to discipline his children? And okay, no, with no disrespect to this pastor, because we are together, we're in the same team. About 10 paragraphs. I'm thinking, it's a clear question. Does God use Satan to discipline? The answer is no. He has no use of Satan. The day he tried to overthrow God, that was it. The devil is self-employed. He has no boss. God doesn't use him. He doesn't even need to use him. Amen. He doesn't need to. Amen. If you were yielded and you were walking in the path of righteousness, God would have warned you of what was impending, what the devil was bringing your way. And you would have taken authority over it and made sure it didn't come anywhere near you. You say, Pastor, that's too deep. But that's the level where God wants to bring you to. Because how many of you drive? When you're approaching roundabout, what do they do? Signs. So if we can have that kind of wisdom, how much more God? So he can see it, but we can't hear him telling you, hey, when Jesus appeared to Kenneth Hagin, he had he told him what he came to deliver to him. And then before he left, he asked him, do you have anything to ask me? And he said, yes, so you sit down. I want to ask you, there was a period of time in my life where I went through a serious financial hardship. What happened? Just, okay, let me sit down, sit down. You two sit down. Remember, you went to minister at so-and-so place. There was a strong body of prayer that came upon you. What did you do? Oh, I was a bit tired. I didn't pray. Okay. And then I think three times, the heavy spirit of body tried to get him to pray about it. He missed it. That is why he went through. And I just said, that's why he went through. But then, my mercy kept you through. God, of course, God will. See, there's no problem on God's side. It is our own side that there's issue. Because if you can hear him clearly, you will experience victory always. Now, note, I didn't say he will take the devil out. You take the devil away and the devil won't disturb you anymore. You will be the prime candidate now. Because when you read the parable of sower, it says, persecution arises for the word's sake. So if you are yielded and sensitive to God, that means you are spending time with his word. And when you receive his word in your heart, the devil shows up. Because persecution would always arise for the word's sake. But then, if you know him in whom you have believed, that's it. He can do whatever he wants to do. He can do it because you understand you are in victory. You're not trying to get victory. I was thinking to myself, so Tunde, if you go and say this thing that cancer is, what did somebody ask? Because if this was interactive, and the floor was open for questions. I'm sure somebody would want to ask. So, Pastor, if cancer, if you feel something, you went and they said it's cancer, what would you do? It's a shadow. Besides, I heard what Kenneth Hagin said, and he was saying. He constantly said, "He said, devil, you can't put cancer on me." He didn't say, "Oh God, please tell." No, he told him direct. You can't put it. And thank God I'm not saying it in my name. Because if I say it in my name, hey, I'm in trouble. I'm saying it in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm saying it fully aware of what his blood has done. He can't. And if he goes through and he attempts and he puts it, he's simple. Simple. Hebrews 6 says, but two things in which, let's go there. Let us read it. Hebrews chapter 6. Father, I thank you. You have taken me away from my notes. Praise God. Hebrews chapter 6. But somebody is being blessed, isn't he? Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. That's the most important. Hebrews chapter 6. Now I need to find it. Yes. Hebrews chapter 6 verse 17. It reads, thus, I need to make sure everybody's there. We're all there in Hebrews 6, verse 17. Thus, God, determining to show more abundantly to the heirs of promise. Who are the heirs of promise? We, thank you. We. To show to us the immutability of his counsel, confirmed it by an oath, that by two immutable things. The question is, what are those two immutable things? Who wants to give it a go? The two immutable things he used. Who wants to give it a go? Come on. The two immutable, yes? Okay, we're getting close. Two immutable things. The two immutable things that God used. The body and the blood of his son. Those are the two things. The two things. So to answer that question, Pastor, what would you do? That brings me to a time. Kenneth Copeland was ministering, and every evening this woman who had cancer, it was clear she had cancer, and she would come out, he would lay hands on her, and he could see physically that she was healed. But she goes back, comes back the next day, the same way she looked before he lays hand. I did the second time, laid, I rebuke you in the name of Jesus. Physically, he could see that it had left. The third time, and I said, woman, go and sit down. Let us agree that God will reveal why this thing is still coming back. Yeah? Yeah? So 3 days, God revealed to either you or myself why this thing is still coming back. And then I think he was about to go to bed. He woke up and God told him, that thing called cancer is working 24/7. For those of you who read about it, they say it's 24/7. But then you are just laying hands for, maybe lay hands for 1 minute, 2 minutes. I go, no, it's a 24/7 battle. So what I'll do is when I wake up, I'll break bread. I'll take the blood. I'm remembering what he did. He delivered me from this thing the doctor say, the machine says is in me, and is trying to, I'll take communion. And I'll stay on the word. Still, what does it mean? I'll keep confessing. Because you have to understand, when you hear, even as Christians, when we hear cancer, our mind goes to overdrive. Oh my God, 6 more months to live. If you are thinking that, you are finished. You replace those thoughts with what has given, I'll replace those thoughts with what has given me victory. That's what my mind will be focused on. As a matter of fact, what is work? I'll say, hey, hello. I won't tell them I have cancer. Before they say, oh my God, Mr. O has cancer. Mr. And they're not confessing. I won't tell them, I just take 7 days off. Lock myself somewhere with God's word. Lock myself with God's word. And I'll stay there. And the reason was, by the time I come out, it's either what Jesus did at Calvary becomes my testimony, or I'll tell this body, but if you're not going to respect what Jesus has done, I will put you in, we'll put you 6 feet deep. Me, I'll go. Isn't it? If you don't rest, but then, hallelujah, God always wins. But I'll take communion. Because it was what God revealed to Ken was, it's 24/7, but you're just laying hands for 2 minutes. You believe what you've done, but does she believe what you've done? So he called her into a private session and told her what to do. You get, thank God for technology. Get tapes, especially tapes that reads the word of God. It doesn't matter. You don't need to be reading Isaiah 3. You can read Exodus. You can have Exodus playing 24/7 until that changes what you are thinking. You start thinking what God has said, and then the victory will be yours. Amen. Because you have to understand, I'm not fighting. I'll make this clear. I'm not fighting to be healed. If I'm doing that, I'm wasting my time. I'm not fighting to be healed. I am the healed, and he's trying to say otherwise. So he's the one I have issues with. Just take authority over him. Resist it with everything you've got. And make up your mind, you are not going to cooperate with him. Go to the doctor and say, oh, brother, you don't know what happened. I went to the, no, I have no business doing that. And in closing, I'm going to bury this and then we'll move on. Because the devil tried it on Creflo Dollar. He went for a regular checkup and they said, you have cancer. he didn't tell the church. Then the church was, he didn't tell the church. I think it was a Friday. He didn't tell the church, just came home. He told his wife, he says, what are we going to do? His wife said, we're going to fight him. So he took the whole weekend off. Took Gloria Copeland's tips on healing school. Took it, listened to it, until what he was hearing was all he believed. He no longer believed. You see, because I have to appreciate, yes, when they say, you're bankrupt, I know how it feels. But then you have to, above that, you have to rise above and say, that is just a shadow. It's a shadow. That statement doesn't have a covenant with God. So you have no rights being afraid of it. The moment you're afraid, that's it, you've lost. Because when your when your faith is contaminated with fear, it becomes powerless. It becomes powerless. Amen. So you spend the whole weekend. He went back to the doctor, said test. Doctor said, I've already tested you now. Said test again. And then, okay, this was a testimony. The first time I heard it was when he was ministering. I think it was in the early or late 90s or early 2000s. But then he came to New One Church a couple of weeks ago. And then he said, him and his son were there. They put the put the screen out. And then before he went, or that weekend, God reminded him, didn't I tell you that I will live in you and I am living in you? So they were there in the hospital. They put the screen up. And as they were looking as the machine was trying to find the cancer, they just saw a picture of the face of Jesus. I started to praise God. They couldn't find anything. They couldn't find anything. Now you say, oh, but that only happens to men of God. Yes, because they followed them who through faith and patience have obtained the promise. And if it can happen to them, it can happen to you. Amen. It's just a shadow. What you ought to make your own reality is 3 John 2. I wish above all things that you prosper in all things and be in health. To be in health means you are consistently being healed. Consistently being healed. Consistently drawing healing. Drawing healing. You're not waiting for symptom before you attack. You're consistently. You wake up, you remind yourself, I am the healed. You wake up, you remind yourself, I'm the blessed. You wake up, you remind yourself, I'm favored. Doors open for me. You become the prophet. Don't wait for pastor to prophesy. Become your own prophet. Start saying what you want to see. Remember, those things that are not in your covenant with God are only shadows. And the only way to deal with it is to say what you want. Say what you want. Or spend time with God's word. Let God's word change the way you see yourself. And based on his word, say what you want. Amen. He got to a point, I said, no. God gave me this one. I am blessed. I'm a faithful tither. I'm a joyful, cheerful, generous giver. I have wisdom. I embrace wisdom. I'm submitted to wisdom. I use wisdom. My need is met. I have no want. My desires are satisfied. Grace has done it. I am rich. Pastor, how can you say that? Know ye not the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ? How he being rich became poor for your sake. So that through his poverty, you might be made rich. You have been made rich. So I found I've been made rich. So I said, I am rich. Say, but pastor, we can't see that. Wait now. Wait small more. Yeah, we say in Nigeria, when jungle will mature. Who no go no. Amen. Praise God. But I'm still saying it. Because that's what I want. Amen. That's what I want. I was talking with my students. And they were, sir, why you always talk money, money, money? How much money do you need? And blah, blah, blah. I looked at him. I said, if you give me 1 million now, my mind is already spent. 1 million pounds is already spent. Because you have to understand, when I was talking to them, I'm not talking from the perspective of reservoir, what I own, what I have. No. It's to be a channel. You want to know what I can do with 1 million? Ha! Hey, man. So I was telling them, oh, sir, so you really do that? I said, so why do you think I want to be rich? So I can just gather you. That's where you got it wrong. Amen. So I'm rich because I know what money can do in the right hands. Amen. Praise God. So I say it. And I say it on. And even after it has happened, I'll keep saying it. Amen. Praise the Lord. I was asking myself. So the point is, at what point do we stop confessing? At what point do we stop making confessions of faith? At what point? I mean, think about it. At what point? Oh, okay, so you've been confessing, okay, this mortgage is going to be paid off. So when the mortgage is paid off, is that when you stop? No, then you change your confession. What's the point of having only one house? You can have multiple houses. Say, pastor, what do you want to do with multiple houses? Wait, give me the multiple houses, and then I'll show you what I'll do with the multiple. So at what point do you stop your confession of faith? The question you should now ask is, so what do we talk in heaven? It's not faith. So it's never going to stop. It's not going to stop. When this thought just came to me. I have to say, do you think we get to heaven and somebody say, oh, my feet are killing me. Oh, you're tickling me to death. Do you think you're... No, when that's all rubbish that, you know, we think, you know, in expressing ourselves, it's okay to use death. My feet are killing... Then you might as well just die. Let us bury you. Amen. Yeah, I believe you receive your confession. Now, don't say that to them. Amen. We're not going to stop making confessions of faith. So when you start now, prepare not to stop. And the good thing is, with each time you stay faithful and consistent, God will give you more words to say. He's the one who wants you to have these things. He will give you exactly what to say. Just remember, is it Ezekiel? God brought him to Valley of Dry Bone. He said, oh, son of man, can these bones live? I love Ezekiel. When I get to heaven, one of the people I want to go and see, I want to go and shake his hand. Ah, that was a very good answer. He said, thou knowest. My interpretation of that is whenever you come across a situation where your brain just shuts down, you don't know what to do, turn to God. Because he knowest. He knows. And when you get to that point where you are rest assured that he knows, and all that the devil is doing around, you know, shouting, blah, 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 all his threats, you're not ignoring him, but it doesn't affect you. Because your focus is on God's word. He will give you what to say. Because your victory is in what you say. Because that's how we know what your faith is. That's what we know what you're believing in when you hear what you say. Amen. He'll give you what to say. And all you have to say it. And Ezekiel just said it, and as he will be, even before he finished saying it, the bones started coming together before mighty army in front of him. I don't care how dead that finance is. God will give you what to say. Oh, God. Yeah, that's a place to shout amen. But anyways, I don't care what the doctor said. Amen. God will give you what to say. As a matter of fact, he said, I will satisfy you with long life. So until you are satisfied, you have no right as a believer to live. You know, unless 70 you are satisfied, then goodbye, we'll see you. I mean, 120. Amen. Strong and still preaching the gospel. Still being effective in my day. That's if Jesus tarries. Amen. Praise God. Because we have to realize that is what we're looking forward to. Amen. We're working towards that. His second return. But glory be to God. Until I'm satisfied, I'm not going anywhere. I am not going. I talked to my buddy. I said, hey, we have 70. I'm a math teacher. Yeah, 78 more years to go. Praise God. I just started. I'm very young. Amen. Those look at me and say, oh, sir, your hairline is running away. You're old. I told him, I said, no. He satisfies my mouth with good things. My youth is renewed like the eagles. And I think that's a very good point to draw this to a close. There are three things about the eagle. Because when you read Isaiah 40, it says, they who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like what? Like eagles. Now, there are seven characteristics of the eagle, but I'm going to point your attention to three. Vision. When an eagle sees its prey, it doesn't change. It doesn't look to the left or to the right until it has caught it. Amen? It sees its prey. It sets its vision on something. He never looks to the left or to the right until it's achieved. It caught that prey. Vision. Number two, wings. The eagle is the only bird that can fly in a storm. Because in its wings, it has the ability to lock it. To lock it up. So all birds, when the storm is coming, they all run away. Well, eagles just wait. It actually anticipates storm. Say, okay, come. Storm arises, it enters in, locks its wing, and the storm lifts it up until it's above, and then underneath it sees the storm. How many of you fly? When you're 38,000 feet above, I like window seat, because I like to see on, hey, clouds. Down here, we look over, hey, but up there, it's beautiful. And that's where eagles fly, because that's the only bird that has the ability to fly through a storm, and the Bible likens you to an eagle. So instead of running from challenge, as a believer, you should come now. What? You tried on my brother, he finished you. So come. Try. Take your best shot. Come now. Do now. Come. He said, hey, Pastor, talk to the devil like that. It's because in our minds, we think the devil is a god. He's an angel. Fallen. He's beneath you. Defeated. The only power he has over you is the fear you have of him, and you don't want to feed him that power. Amen. And then the third one is rejuvenation. when an eagle finds out it's no longer aerodynamic, I don't know how it does it, but then I read it. I found when the eagle finds out that the feathers are not as aerodynamic as it used to be, it goes to a very high, cave or somewhere, and then it flies, it flies into the cave to break its beak, to break it, and in the process of breaking it, it sheds all its feathers, and then it waits for the feathers to grow out again and the beak to grow out again. Those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. But Pastor, what does that mean? Because we don't see God to wait on him. Yeah? It says looking unto Jesus. Hey, but Jesus is not here. He's right under the Father. But the Bible says that he's the word that became flesh. In Hebrews chapter 1 said the same thing. He spoke to our fathers, to the prophet, but now to his word. So in our vernacular, we can change Isaiah 40 to read, those who wait on God's word shall renew their... It says shall, not say might. No, it shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. That means you can now have ego vision. Say, okay, that mortgage is going to be paid for in the next 2 years. Just focus on it. Where the money is going to come from is not your business. Because the Bible says, what's it called? Is it the borrower is under the lender? So I know it's a good way of borrowing. It's a good way of investing. But then you can say, yeah. Or maybe you have a car, a note on your car. Maybe it's 4 more years to go, but I say, no, by the end of this year, it's paid off, it's not mine. Fix your vision on it and wait on God's word. He'll give you what to say. He will give you what to say. You wait on his word, you then experience what the eagle experiences in his wings. The devil brings any storm. Any storm! Say, come, devil, just fly into it, lock your wing. And go up from glory to glory, from glory to glory. And if you find that, the way the word of God was used to express through you is no longer as it is before, just shed those feathers. That's fasting. Just declare a fast over your life. So, okay, this is what I want to do. I want to sharpen my sensitivity to God's voice. And that's how others, so look spiritual. Go to work, I'm fasting. What's up? I'm fasting. No. You declare a fast. What happens in a fast is you're shutting down your flesh. You're shutting down what you have been accustomed, because we live in a world where it's your five physical senses. You're shutting them down, and then you're now trusting on the most important one, your faith. That's what a fast does. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. And I'm going to end with this. I read this. T.D. Jakes said this. He said, that test is a compliment. So whatever it might be you're going through, is a compliment. God has boasted about you. He hasn't sent the devil to now. No. Because if you read Job, God said, behold. So look. He has always been in your power now. So why are you coming to me? He's only in your power. Behold, he's in your power. That test is a compliment. It's a compliment. So, Pastor, what do I do? Wait on God's word. Wait on God's word. Because the moment your focus is in God's word, God is in control. And everything will be all right. Amen. Have you learned something this morning? Amen. As long as your focus is, as long as you've trained yourself to trust in his word, you train yourself, something happens instead of, hey, I need to go out and talk to my, some of you, some people have wealth managers. Let me go out and talk to my wealth manager. Let me go out and talk to my bank manager. You consult the word first. As long as you've trained yourself to do that, you will realize in the midst of it all, God has always been in control. And everything will turn out for your favor. Because that's how special you are. Amen. If you've learned something, stand to your feet and give God praise. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Father, we give you all the praise and all the glory. We give you all the praise, Lord. We thank you. You have always been in control. You have always been in control. Therefore, everything will be all right. It may not seem so. It may not look so. It may not even feel so. It may feel like we ought to give up and consult something else, try something else that will work. But Father, we thank you. We thank you. We thank you. We thank you. We give you all the praise. We give you all the praise. We give you all the praise. Everything will be all right. Lord, we thank you. We will not die, but we will live to declare your glory. You said until we are satisfied. Until we are satisfied, nothing takes us away. We will declare, we will manifest, we will show forth your glory. That doctor's note is a shadow. Your word is our reality. Your word is our truth. By the stripes of Jesus, we are healed and we have been made whole. Father, we give you all the praise and we give you all the glory. We give you all the praise and all the glory. We give you all the praise and all the glory. We thank you, Lord. We rejoice in you. We rejoice in you. We rejoice in you. We rejoice in you. Because everything, everything, everything will be all right. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Say this with me. Father, we give you all the praise. Father, we give you all the praise. We thank you. You are in control. Therefore, we confess. Oh, sorry. Therefore, I confess. Therefore, I declare over my life and all that concerns me, everything will be all right. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Amen.